And I think another thing which we've got involved with, which has been good, is that that's a lot of planning. We've had plans prepared for just about everything you can think of. And that's just not spatial planning, it's planning for people, planning for infrastructure, planning for doing all sorts of things. So we've got our cell planning, strategic planning, which talks about where roads are going to go and where public open space is going to go and schools and all those sorts of things. But we've had plans such as the recreation plan, which I mentioned before, the bike plan, equestrian trails. All those plans that we've got means that that's evidence that we're looking to the future all the time. We're saying there's all those people coming to live here. It's important that that we plan to provide a full range of facilities and services when we've got 150 or 60,000 people living in the city of Berwick.
How important do you see community consultation in that process?
I think it's essential. I think probably over the last 10 years we've had more community consultation than in the first 10 years. I think in the first 10 years the councillors were probably more of the view that, well, you know, we're elected to speak on behalf of the community, so that's what we'll do. We will tell you, we will decide what the community wants. But I think in the last 10 years we've really got members of the community involved with committees and making comments on things. And their input into plans and strategic things that we're doing, I think, is just so valuable. You get more perspectives thrown into the hat, more ideas. And I think, importantly, you get a stronger sense of ownership and commitment if you involve people. And I think probably the most significant plan that we've produced, the corporate plan, which I was very keen to do, and we had that adopted in my first year as chief executive. Something we'd worked on for a few years, but we got it all together, and the Minister for Local Government of the day launched it with our then mayor, that's Carolyn Hogg and Kirsty Lotkowitz. And we've just reviewed that and involved the community again, and we're just about to launch our second version. So the planning side of things has been very important. I think in the last month or two, I've very quickly come to the realisation that the people things we've done in the community have been the things that people really appreciate. The fact that we've involved people in our committees and asked them what they thought, or really strongly supported, say, neighbourhood houses or equestrian trails or the farm, things that, you know, people actually get out and do or use or whatever. It's not sort of a traditional roads and rubbish sort of thing. It's the community facilities that people really use, as well as these other essential services. And the people that have come up to me at public meetings or have written to us over restructure are basically the people who are really pleased with us because of these things we've done in those sorts of areas. And I think that's an important message.
Do you think some of that would come from the stability of the senior staff structure, in that because people have been here and lived in the area, they would have a deeper commitment?
That's interesting. There's two ways of looking at that. One is, if you've got if you have the same staff and you don't have a turnover of staff, you can argue that you don't get new ideas, you get staid and stale and tunnel vision and comfortable and all those sorts of arguments, and that getting new staff in does the opposite. The other way, and I'd prefer this way of looking at it, is that if you select good staff who are not frightened to try new things, who are encouraged to come up with new ideas, who are encouraged to get out into the world and see what's going on elsewhere, you have not only the ideas coming forward, but you also have built up a tremendous local knowledge. And I personally think we've had the best of both worlds. We've encouraged staff to get out in the world, we've encouraged people to be innovative. And there's a whole, I mean, we're the first council or the second council or something to have a prize for paying your rates early. And you know, all those, we had the fish in. I saw in the papers the other day, it's now 1994, the city of Camberwell having trout fishing in a swimming pool. Gosh, we did that back in the 70s. And, you know, we've come up with those ideas which we've implemented, skateboard tracks and, you name it. We've done all sorts of new innovative things, and we've got a good name because of that. And in a similar vein, we've encouraged people to get out and see what's going on in the world. Instead of working in other councils and coming here, they've gone out and spoken with their colleagues and been involved with their professional bodies. So we've had Victorian presidents, two Victorian presidents of the Institute of Municipal Management. We've had one, and we're just about to have another two presidents that'll be the building surveyors. And we've had the Victorian and Australian president of the valuers. We've had two presidents of the rate administrators. We've had president of the engineers. We've had two awards. We've had an award to, travel award to Ian Matthews to study CCT in US, UK and New Zealand. We've had an award to Ross Curry for his innovation in our gas to electricity project. And all these things couldn't have happened without council encouraging staff to get involved in their professional bodies and going, look what's happening around the, not only this state, but interstate, and in the case of quite a number of staff overseas. We assisted our recreation officer to look at a few things in America at one stage, and various of us have had the opportunity to go overseas and see what's going on there. And I mean, that I think has brought up the ideas and the innovation and the knowledge of what's going on elsewhere. Plus we've had the tremendous amount of local knowledge build up and personal relationships between members of the community. And so people that have been around, I suppose I'm one of them, for 20 odd years, know a tremendous number of people in the community and know about things and places and history and all those sorts of things, which is, I think, a big help to the council and its operation. It's a very personal way of doing things if you know the people involved, or you know the implications on people of doing certain things or of not doing certain things. I suppose in terms of events, we've had some interesting events which we've supported or started ourselves, and I mean the Berwick show, obviously it's the oldest running show in Victoria, and we've strongly supported that, and that's probably one of the major events in our city during the year. But there are some others that have been established which we support. For instance, the Berwick City Highland Gathering, we have 15 or 16 pipe bands competing, hundreds of pipers, you know, marching around the place. Wonderful event. The riding of the bounds. We last year, I think we had 160, or this year 160 or 70 horses trotting around. I mean, they're just interesting community events which really have taken off. The Carols by Twilight, run by the Church of Christ at in the Pat Northeast Reserve here, is another event. And the Sister City affiliations have. That's been an interesting scenario, actually. It started off with a very much council-to-council sort of thing. And I took the view, having just got involved with that, that it should be more people-to-people than council-to-council. And the councillors agreed with it with me when I suggested that we put... initially it was Tom McGill went on to the committee, and then we broadened it more, and now there's more community members than there are councillors. There's only two councillors, and there's I think there's about 14 or something members of the community, and it's been really taken over by the community now, and that's excellent. And a lot of people have had a lot of enjoyment out of something like that.
And links between associations, community groups and schools and
Sorts of... And well, we've encouraged that, and we've encouraged people to go over there and have a look. So that's been an interesting thing. What else do you want me to talk about?
Any sort of highlights that you think are significant in the development of the council? Any other highlights that you think of?
Well, I haven't given this a lot of thought, but if I'm... I suppose the highlights of the 21 years is firstly getting up and going and appointing staff and, you know, commencing the operation of a council with all the things it does from zero, you know, nothing, not a person, a council or anything, going from that point to a situation now where we have 700 odd full and part-time staff and council and a civic centre, all those things we've got. So that happened rather quickly, the initial establishment, it's built up to a pretty big organisation, multi-million dollar budget, $48 million, and I mean that's I think in itself a highlight, just getting going and operating and building up to such an extent. The second thing I think which is a real highlight is the planning for growth and the provision of infrastructure for the community as it's developed to this stage of 85,000 people from the 22 we started off with, and the total realisation at all times by all of our staff that, you know, we're really planning all the time to cater for 160,000 people, and in the back of our mind, with all those things that we do, we know that in another 10 or 15 years we'll have double our current population. We're not sort of sitting back and waiting for it to happen, or sitting back and watching it happen. We're out there sort of making it happen in terms of providing the things that people need as the communities grow and as the subdivisions appear. We're on top of it. That in terms of providing the things that people need, that our record's pretty good, and I think it's just a fact. We do have a very good reputation as a growth council, and if you look around at what the people have, all the things that we've provided, I think we've got a reasonable record. And interestingly, you might say, well, how's all this been funded? We started off with a very low rate base, not just in total dollars, but in the rate effort, which is the term they use, that how much the man in the street actually pays was pretty low compared with other councils. And over the years, in one way or another, it's just happened anyway, that the rate effort now is quite reasonable compared with other councils. And in fact, it's probably a lot better than just about any other inner Melbourne or middle Melbourne council, and it's probably on a par with the other, or better than any of the other growth councils. What I'm saying here is that the effort's been increased, which has given us more dollars per property or per head or whatever, to a reasonable level, and we've kept it at that level and around inflation for the last so many years. Now, what the state government is about now is saying, well, what do you get for these monies? If we amalgamate councils, if we reduce overheads and cut out senior offices and town halls and all that sort of thing, the actual total cost could reduce and you might still get the same provision of facilities and services. And if you look at the city of Stonington, which is an amalgam of Perran and Morven, their total budget's around $67 million for a population of around 84,000, 85,000. And our budget's around 48 million for the same population. Now, we're spending the same amount as Stonington within 100,000 on capital works. Why is it that they've got $20 million more expenditure? And obviously it's because they've got two town halls, two administrations, two sets of executive offices, two of a lot of things that a council of that size only needs one of. Now, the fact that we've got the budget that we have compared with, say, Stonington means to me that the ratepayers of Berwick are getting a lot more for their dollar than the residents of Stonington. And, I mean, the fact that we've only been going for 20 years means we haven't got this history of inefficiencies or old town halls or all these other things. So it probably means that the rating dollar is being spent a lot better on behalf of the community out here than in other councils. And that means we've been able to provide the things more easily than, say, two councils of half the size could have done.
You talked about the funding. I'm also interested in the philosophy behind why a council works as it does. And you've already said a few things about that in terms of planning and other things like that. I was wondering if you've ever encapsulated that idea.
Can we go back to that in a second? But I want to say this, in terms of funding, if there's a dollar around, we've always been after it, in terms of government funding. I think that's another important point. Where there's been government grants, whether they be state or federal, or programs or things, where there's a dollar available, we've been after it like a rat up a drain pipe. We've got millions of dollars out of state and federal government, millions, through having a focus on the importance of getting that. And that's been through, in the early days, grantsmanship, putting out good submissions and you're the only one that did it, or you got friendly with a public servant that allocated the money. And we did very well in those days, in the 70s out of that. And in the 80s it became more political and you had to be friendly with politicians and do a bit of lobbying here and there and political kudos given and all that sort of stuff. And we did that through the 80s very well. The wheels turn now, of course, and there's not much money for anything, but we're still getting our fair share. Now, on this philosophical thing, just ask me that question again.
It has... I'm interested in trying to identify why the City of Berwick is different to other councils in its district. And so I was wondering if you've ever encapsulated the philosophy behind the approach that the council takes.
Right. I suppose firstly I'd say that probably every council thinks it's different. And every council probably thinks it's the best. I'm happy to think that way. But I suppose having been around the traps and got out in the local government world to observe and listen and talk to people, I would believe that we're right up there with the best. And in some things we're a lot better than others. In others, we're average, and I'm the first to admit that in some things we mightn't be as good as others. I think we all have our strengths and mediocrities and weaknesses, but I mean, you're always trying to build up everything to a strength, and that's what I'm about, but I'm not silly enough to say we're the best at everything. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the fact that we were created as a new city meant that everybody was starting from scratch. Everybody was within the hierarchy, obviously, but everyone was basically pretty equal. And they certainly were in terms of how long they'd been with the organisation. And I think throughout the senior staff, through all the years, there's been a feeling that we should always keep this teamwork, this fact that nobody's, no particular department's any better or more important than another one, that all areas of the council should be treated even-handedly. And that sort of feeling, because there's so many people that have been here for a number of years, if anybody has stepped out of line, making out that their area's more important or better or whatever, the rest of them quickly have come quickly forward to sort of pull them back into line. And so I think you've always got this feeling of working together, and we're all here for the one organisation rather than for a particular department. And that, you know, 20 years is not a long time when you talk about local government, having been going for 150 odd years. And I suppose that feeling about the place is something that we've always had and hopefully will always have.
And does this relate to the current integration of different departments in their provision of services?
Yeah, well, I think that over the years we've always encouraged an interdisciplinary approach to developments or problem solving or whatever. We feel that you get a better answer if you've got enough number of different disciplines all thrown in from their perspective. And that I think that's a feature that has been important in getting better results, stronger commitment, stronger sense of ownership. If you've been involved in discussions on something, you'll support it better, know more about it, take a bigger interest in it. And I mean, that's happened with all sorts of projects that we've been involved with. I haven't spoken much about the councillors. I think over the 20 years we've moved. In the initial year it was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, a lot of newness with three or four old hands. And that moved through to, in the next few years, to a scenario where people were elected who had a strong sense of the rights of property owners and the metro town business in 75, 74, where people really came forward and said, listen, if we own land, we want to have the right to develop it ourselves. And I think once that was got over, we went back to a more traditional approach in terms of making decisions. And probably towards the end of the 70s, we realised that not only were we growing, but we were going to be huge. And through the 80s, we really geared ourselves up to planning in a big way for the future. And now in the 90s, there's been a few changes in staff, new chief executive, and the council has changed over, and we've got triennial council, all this sort of thing. Without restructure, we would be proceeding forward with reviewing and updating of cell plans and new corporate plan, and with a stronger acknowledgement of the challenges of the future than we've ever had, because the growth that we're experiencing now in 1994 is the highest rate of growth we've ever experienced, and that underlines the necessity to plan and get all the things that the people need, whether it be local government provided or state government provided or federal government provided. So during the last year or two, a few of us have spent a lot of time on key issues such as winning the university argument, getting the police station in Narre Warren, which was a huge political coup, helping get the TAFE up at Berwick, still trying to get the freeway link. And I mean, we've got the government to say it's one of the top three on the fringe, and the minister's totally in support of it. So you know, you just keep on banging the drum for these key things, and you have to try and make sure you identify the key things. And if we've got a university at TAFE and we're involved with a task force, at least I am, to get the secondary schools and the primary schools in place, and public transport, there are things happening there, and the freeway and the police and fire brigades, well, there's a plan there, and ambulances. We've influenced the government to locate a site, if not a station. Mm. So the big picture as well as the little picture is important in the planning for the future. And keeping the eye on the ball of what's important, working as a team, all those sorts of issues. But there's a whole new set of issues now, which we could talk about for ages, about efficiencies and cutting costs and CCT and best practice and quality assurance and customer service. They're all the things I'm interested in now for the next few years, for the rest of my career. And that will be involved with whatever local government authority is responsible for this area. Those sorts of issues have become important, more important. I think the other interesting thing that I'd want to highlight is that as the city's developed, we've become more specialised. Where we're all generalists at the start, this is speaking very generally, as we've got bigger, we've got involved with some important issues that you need to spend some time on, and we've got in selected professionals, so that now we've just advertised for a traffic engineer, and we've got a conservation officer and a historian and a public relations officer and a community liaison officer and an occupational health and safety person. All those specialists, and it's just so important in a big organisation that you have people that you can rely on to give you specific advice on important issues, whether that's required by law or not. I mean, history isn't, and we've put in a big effort there, which I think is fantastic. It's one of my better ideas. We've got more specialised, and what's going to be interesting in the next decade is you might pull out a specialisation, write a specification, put it out to tender and have some consultant providing that advice, and it's going to be interesting to see whether that works as well or better or worse. It'll be quite fascinating, actually. You might have just a few generalists looking at contracts for those sorts of people, but I just wanted to add that over the years we've built up quite a degree of expertise in various areas, which I think has been of great benefit to the city.